Blog Talk Radio.
Family, and welcome to Dare to Win, How Roots Did Begin in Africa. So what's happening in the news today? We invite you to participate and tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods, and we'll be right back in a couple minutes. Brother and sister, and welcome to Dare to Win. This is your Thursday night program, Kulu's Thursday night program, where we try to have a sobering discussion on what's happening in the African world. If you wish to participate in that discussion, you can do so by dialing 929-477-2789. Let me repeat that again, 929-477-2789. And then just press 1 on your keypad, all right? And then you can ask your question or make a comment if you so choose to do that. Or you can go to Fulu website, which is usliftingus.com. That's us, U-S, lifting, L-I-F-T-I-N-G, us.com. And click on Ulu's radio tab, and you can listen and click the link, and you can join us live there. Today, we're going to talk about what's going on in your world. And to help us to go through and navigate through this discussion, I'm joined by Brother Thurman, who, like myself, is a member of Ulu. Brother Thurman, how you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing good. I always love being in good company like yours and the listening audience.
Well, brother, we love to have you here, and I'm sure that the audience love to hear you because you have and have brought some exciting topics to the radio station. But now the topic today is just to have us begin to get some dialogue on what's going on in the family world, you know, because although we suffer from a very similar oppressive condition and we're hit hard very similarly, we know that there may be some characteristic that might be slightly different. And we want to know what's happening all over because the economic model that we're trying to bring is to address that, but we can only address that if we know exactly what's in it and then have you participate and bring the input that is necessary in order to make that happen. But before we jump to the audience, Brother Thurman, let me ask you, what's going on in your neck of the woods? What's the fire like there where you are?
Well, there's at least two fires going on, and that is amongst the African people locally and around all over the globe that are evolving and raising their consciousness and very much in support every day of us becoming totally free. And then the other fire is the one that have been socialized effectively in a way that that's the farthest thing from their mind about seeking freedom, and they're content to take the trinkets and the celebrations they participate in throughout their lives and do what they do on a limited level that would never take us down the path to becoming free again. And I hope that gave you something to answer your question, brother.
Yeah, brother, I really appreciate that. I know that one such national holiday to the European consciousness is coming up, and sometimes we fall victims. But then again, the indoctrination, as you have so eloquently put it, somehow mistakenly have us believe that what is being celebrated is also for us when it was at the expense of us. And, of course, I like to call it Turkey Day, you know. But it's coming here, and a lot of folks will be, you know, breaking their necks. A lot of them will be eating and engaging in activity that is not necessarily beneficial for the body as well as the spirit, but that's the thing that we're up against, and that's one of the things that we have to realize and try to correct. For myself, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and I try to keep abreast what's pulsating in the community, and right now, like yourself, I'm a little bit discouraged because everybody seemed to be highly nervous and scared because, as you might know, and I'm sure that our members and family members who are listening also know, you know, it's crunch time. President Biden had put out an executive order when they're where they're not supposed to be any coercion for the administration of this thing they call a vaccine. It's supposed to be informed consent, and but everything now is pressured, so that gives me at least some suspicion that the thing is not all about health. All right, but anyway, it's impacting the community as I run through it, and as I call, folks are concerned, and then people are even saying, well, look, I can't have you even come to my house to celebrate a holiday that wasn't really meant for us. And, you know, unless you get that jab in your arm, you know. All right. And then, of course, others say that they don't want it, but the pressure is so grave, you know, they feel somewhat intimidated. And, you know, Brother Thurman, it's all a smokescreen. Well, what I mean by that is this. President Biden said that he's going to initiate an executive order. But if you go to the website, all right, the Federal Register, which is where, you know, all congressional presidential actions is listed, so that's essentially what it's for the membership, he hadn't done it. It's not there. Mm-hmm. He says he's going to do it. It ain't there. OSHA, which is one of the agencies responsible for health and safety at the workplace, did initiate a 490-page document, which is supposed to be from the executive order. All right? And their case is a little weak. Now, I didn't read 490 pages. All right, I read a little summary and some commentary on the pages. It looks a little weak. For instance, let me just give you one example. In their statute, it states, you know, that OSHA, in defining the emergency, where they are, and they sort of like went back a little bit, brother, and family, they went back a little bit, you know, because the mandate was the mandate to get the vaccine. Now, as it is, the mandate is you either come there with the vaccine or submit yourself to weekly testing and maybe daily testing. And this must be done by businesses, private, all right, or public, with 100 or more employees. And then they would be heavily fined, you know, if they do not carry out that mandate. Now, that's going to be challenged, all right, and it's going to be challenged in this respect because the it's called an emergency, what's that word they use now? I'll get it in a minute. It'll come to me. It's one of their emergencies that they that authorized them to be able to put out these mandates because they're responsible for overseeing and monitoring, you know, health and safety in the workplace. All right, and so the question becomes, if there is an emergency, all right, what is supposed to happen is that one of the statutes in their authorization is supposed to indicate whether they have independently confirmed the nature of the emergency. Now, I know they didn't do that. I know that all they did was get information from FDA and CDC in particular, and maybe HHS, all right, but they haven't done that. There has been no independent. They just got stuff handed to them, and they just formulate an edict and then passed it on. All right, so now what we have, you know, and so that's going to be challenging. Right now, I think it's about 30 governors. Is going to challenge in that. And I heard that at least a couple attorney generals, one of them is putting together a grand jury on this whole and on this whole thing. So it's a lot of stuff happening. And the question I'm bringing out is that you might say, well, how does that impact black folks? Well, I think black folks are in this country like white folks are, right? And generally, we don't really necessarily get the news. And ignorant is not bliss, you know. You can't say I didn't know. All right, so that's a couple of things that are popping up on my way. And family, if you you wish to join and tell us what's happening as you navigate through your community, as you navigate through the news, as you navigate anywhere, you know, from long distance calls to your brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, Africa. Here in the States, the South, the West, wherever we are, join us. And you can join the conversation by contacting us at 929-477-2789. Press 1 on the keypad, then you can make a comment or you can ask your question if you want. But right now we're looking for comments about what's happening in your world. And, of course, you can't necessarily participate, but you can at least hear if you go to the website, which is www.usliftinus.com, click on the Ulu Radio tab and the link from there, and then you can join and listen to this discussion between myself, Brother Thurman, and family members who are listening that wants to participate. So let me get back to you, Brother Thurman, because you sound a little disheartening, you know, particularly when you saw how we were preparing for things in an unconscious way. What are some of the things that you think that might be used to maybe reverse this, or can it be reversed? Now, I'm being facetious when I say that. Obviously, I wouldn't be in Ulu if I didn't think it could be reversed. But what's on your mind about how we might be able to do that?
Yeah, and your last question, can it be reversed? The answer is absolutely, because all of the problems that's happening all over this planet that's related to people and people's stuff is solvable. Even if we don't know the answer, it's solvable, because we as the original people have within us and our connection with the universe unlimited abilities to transform things and to know answers. And so it's all solvable. And among the things that a lot of us can grasp hold of, and the ancestors included, and we've talked about it, touched on it on the Thursday night call, and we need to gather on a regular basis so that we can do the things, like you said a few minutes ago, that when it comes to what's in the news, there's a lot of things we don't normally talk about or know about. When we're failing, when we're not coming together on a regular for the purpose of knowing about things that's happening and the evidence related to it, as you were talking about describing the OSHA and other organizations, and they needed the people need the clarity that you were bringing forth that would suggest that in spite of what the president has said, that there's no order, lawful order in place for that to happen, with the exception of you added that some emergency clause. But a lot of it is just dependent on the people being misinformed, and when they're misinformed, they will go along with a whole lot of things. And so it's like one of our ancestor sisters, I believe it was Zora Neale Hurston, that said that the oppressors will take our pain, and the fact that we appear to be tolerating tenuous abuse, and they would think that we tend to enjoy it. And a lot of things that they have in the past, and they continue to advance upon us and against all of life, they go along with it because they feel confident that the people are just sitting back, and whether they like it or not, they're not voicing as a group any disagreement about it. So it's almost like they like it. But I think I got off track. One of the things that has been brought forth that's necessary is for us to have cultural centers. And Us Lifting Us is advancing, along with its other work, to build a Us Lifting Us marketplace. And in it would be multiple businesses and facilities and spaces, and including Ulu Us Lifting Us Cultural Center. And in the cultural centers would be the opportunity for us to come together like we must do and gather in a circle and talk about anything. And I really do mean talk about anything. And to be able to do that effectively, we've got to recreate in the minds of our people that's out of touch with it the ability to be calm enough to talk about anything and not have any arguments. And so once we get that hurdle out of the way, then we can talk about anything, because there's no subject that we should not in the circle talk about, because if we don't have clarity about it. What you talk about in the last few minutes, the people have that don't know the things that you talked about, and you could take it even further in terms of the work that you've been doing related to this jab and COVID. We need to know all of the facts and all of the alternatives beyond taking a jab. And when we don't gather together and share what's in the news, then the family doesn't know. So it's like the meme that was put out on the Us Lifting Us page that shows the African family, mostly children, and they're gathered together waiting for us to tell them what's in the news for pertaining to the African family in particular. And so then we've got to correct the misinformation when we gather together in the circle, in the circles on a regular basis. It's our job, like the ancestors said, those who know must teach. It's our job to correct the misinformation, whatever it might be, in all subject areas, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically, nutritionally, economically, and beyond. And when we don't do that, we're doing an injustice to ourselves. Winter is advancing, and it's up in the air what may or may not happen with regard to storms, because of that leads into another thing that the people need to know about, that there's been a lot of manipulation when it comes to the sky, the air, and the weather. That has a lot to do with changes in the weather that used to be totally a part of the ecosystem of the earth and the universe, and it determined what was going to happen each winter and not people. But in any case, when I use the word winter, it creates a potential, great potential, that it will get cold, that there will be storms. And simultaneously, I would add that when you talk about something and it's in the news, there are people that know and there's people that don't know that there's lots of ships that are offshore or near shore that's been just sitting idle for weeks. And then there's trucks, tractor trailers at ports that's just sitting idle with supplies that can very easily tomorrow, next week, next month, cause a big shortage of supplies of whatever, but certainly including food. And with that in mind, what's in the news when it comes to the African family? Are we spiritually, mentally, physically prepared for an emergency that could include a power outage or shortage of food? Are we prepared to come together whenever necessary to live together in one place or in a smaller place in harmony and to ration food and things along that line? All of those things are things that we must talk about. And when we're not talking about emergency preparedness, regardless of what time of year it is, regardless of what the chaos might be other than just storms, we need to be prepared for whatever may come in the morning. Now, I hope I'm making some sense in what I just said, brother.
Yeah, brother, you certainly are, and I'm glad you brought up the thing about the tankers. Family, I know that, you know, if you're watching CNN and MSNBC, you might not be seeing them too often. But, you know, if you look at other news and get some other sources, you know, they're sitting off the coast. And the implication is that, you know, they're loaded with stuff because a lot of stuff that we use are imported. You know, a lot of, you know, they, they're imported. They might be assembled someplace else. The powers that be, the capitalistic class group, essentially finds out that it's cheaper, all right, to have manufactured items offshore, have them maybe even assembled offshore and then sold inshore, right? So that's what happens. But in order to artificially, you know, to manipulate the market, because usually capitalism is supposedly based on market, a lot of people call it fair, you know, where the market forces will dictate, you know, prices. And therefore, if you don't do right, don't have a good business, you go out of business. But there's some people that want to stay around very long, and they found a way to manipulate the market. One of them is that they can manipulate the sources of the material that is needed, all right, that's going to have an impact on shortages or an abundance. And that will be reflected in the cost of things. And so they're just sitting out there, you know. My granddaughter informed me, she lives in Baltimore, all right, she's informed me that, you know, she's going through stores and finding out that, you know, the shelves are, you know, empty. I'm saying, why would, you know, and I know that there are food some places. You know, I'm here in South Florida, Miami area. You know, there's no shortage of what can be seen of food. And I've also gotten calls from other people of shortages, all right? And that's the consequence of people, when you see shortages, there's no shortages. It's trying to manipulate the supply and demand such that prices is increased because there is a demand, and then they can raise the prices, you know, that'll increase their now these are the monopolistic capitalists whose intent is to manipulate the forces, all right, that controls production such that it enriches them. This is richer than, I'm not talking about, you know, the average business person out here who's trying to survive like the rest of us who are just wage earners. But I'm saying these folks look and have formulas, and they hire economists to manipulate this economy, to manipulate the forces, all right, such that it increases their ability to make increase their profit. So, family, this is what's on our mind, but, you know, this is maybe not necessarily everything that's on your mind. So please join the conversation, and you can do that by, you know, calling in at 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your keypad, and, you know, you can make your comment or ask a question if you so desire. Or if you just want to listen to us, or you can go to the website and dial www.usliftingus.com. That's www, or just usliftingus.com, all one word. And then click the Hulu Radio tab when you go to the website. All right. And then there will be a link that you can click, and you can join us online and listen. Brother Thurman, another thing that you mentioned, you know, a lot of, as you know, over the number of weeks and months that we've been talking, we've been stressing a lot of need for health, all right, eating the right foods, you know, getting up and doing things. Yeah, don't necessarily throw that Big Mac down. Avoid that Big Mac, you know, the food desert and stuff like that. Let me ask you this, you know, when thinking about it, and you talked about the cultural center, and I think that lays a foundation, in this, that sense, in this sense, because if we're talking about health, that, those kind of things can be talked and discussed, ironed out, debated, or what have you, in the cultural center, all right? If we're talking about how can we empower ourselves, all right, and identify how do we control what we consume to make us healthy, all right, such that we can run the businesses that we have in our mind. You know, it comes in our thoughts first, but it's good, but you can't be laying there sick in your mind. You're not going to be in a position to do too much from the bed if you're constantly laid up. And this is not to in any way make fun of people who are laid up, all right? But the thing is to talk healthy so that we reduce the convalescence that might happen if we, you know, when we get sick. So, Brother Thurman, I want you to go a little bit more into your idea of the cultural center, and maybe from your discussion, or in your mind, or from your surroundings, see how that hooks up to, you know, Hulu Master Plan. So to speak.
Well, the Hulu Master Plan is for us to take control of the economics of our community so that we won't be forever at the mercy of others. And the Cultural Center will do a lot of simultaneous work of preparing and directing and leading our, mentally in the right direction. because we, like I said, we should and we would be talking about any and everything that's relevant to our survival and us becoming free, and the health would be part of that. And just on the note of health, when we embrace health and consuming what the earth and the universe has provided for us, it opens up our mind eye, or our mind's eye, our third eye, or the gland in the middle of our head called the pineal gland, and we've got greater mental clarity. So therefore, we can think more critically and think with more greater clarity, and not be so be confused as you would when you are malnourished. And with that, not only would you have greater clarity, but you would be healthier. And so you are a better candidate to be able to survive whatever will happen from day to day, or from one morning to the next morning, whatever may come tomorrow. And that includes any kind of virus, or, as I mentioned earlier, if there was a food shortage, the people that are healthier and especially from nature's perspective, they tend to have greater preparedness and discipline to be able to cut back and ration food, versus the ones that have an addiction to eating unnatural and what's called junk food. It's more difficult for them to ration food. And if, for example, in the cultural center, we had kitchens, which would be something that should be a part of the cultural center. If we determined that we had a certain store of food that would last us for whatever number, whether it's 2 or 3 months or whatever, there are people that are so undisciplined and they're so used to just stuffing themselves with what they normally eat, that if they were put in a position where they could only just have one large cup of whatever the meal was a day, if they could get away with it, if they could get 5 cups, they'd get it. But that would throw off the rations for the rest of the group, and all of that just comes into that picture. But you asked how would they you were asking, and I hope I already began to talk about how the cultural center would contribute. For one, Ulu Mart, which I mentioned earlier, which is the flagship model for us, living us, which is a marketplace that could be the size of a Lowe's or Walmart, 150,000 square feet, would encompass many, many things, including bulk buying of foods like you'd get in a health food store, including a place for black farmers to bring their merchandise that's otherwise difficult for them to sell, and then have a market to come to that where other sisters and brothers that would otherwise have to go to some other stores to buy, they could purchase directly and fresh from the black farmers that would be bringing it into our portion of the building that would be for the farmers market. There would be the farmers market segment portion. And then we would also have in there bookstores, which is very essential, so that there again with the books, we would have greater clarity than we must have in terms of what we have as the original people accomplished in the past. And also the job of each generation is to take the work, and including unfinished work, that the ancestors have started, initiated, and for us to continue what they did not finish, or what needs to evolve in a different direction because of changes in climate and all of those things. And it's our job. And the bookstores would also, in the Ulu marketplace, would be a movie / theater and lecture hall, which the lectures would also be very essential, and there again, and presentations to bring clarity about whatever diseases, about who we are genetically, our genetic makeup, and all of the things that would guide us to our higher self, and we would just have highest values and standards, and that would allow us to flourish. And the Ulu marketplace would also have sales of clothing, including African clothing, and auctions and vendor spaces for vendors and other spaces to bring in their creative goods and nutritional goods and healing goods for our people, healing spaces for our not just medical doctors, but people that are herbalists and people that specialize in the natural healing and including therapeutic touch that's involved in the therapeutic aspects of massage. All of that's essential. It's essential right now, but Ulamot would provide a place for that. And I see the cultural center and the centers and the spaces that would be used to teach and inspire the people would be extremely valuable in keeping us focused and for every new generation to come forward and make sure that they go through that same kind of rites of passage to have clarity about who we are. So it's like the picture that I'm looking at. It's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page where it says, "What's in the news, mm-hmm. family?" And here these African children are standing there, and they're standing, if you look at them and you look in their eyes, they're looking like they're saying a lot of things, but they're saying, look, we're looking towards you all because we're dependent on you all to lead us down the right path. So when it comes to the fork of the road, we don't want to be duped and bamboozled and take the wrong turn with the ones that have been misleading and doing harm to our people. We're looking to you, the grown folks, the so-called elders, to guide us and teach us so that we'll know about our greatness and we'll know that we're not N's and D's and we'll know about our genetic makeup and we would know it's impossible that we could be a lowly inferior N or B because we would provide through the Ulu cultural centers and the Ulu marketplace, the Ulu Mart, the right knowledge that they would never even be duped to think that they were in, think that they were ugly. And just on that note, right. Ugly. There continues to be African babies born, and African babies, you can pick any age you want right now, 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, that inside, in their emotions, they think because of what this society that dupes people, they think that just because they're richly pigmented, that they're ugly. And as right. I said a minute ago, we make sure that all of the babies and all of the people know about our genetic makeup, nobody, it would almost be like they were telling you a joke to try to say you were ugly. Because genetically, right. we are not at all inferior. And genetically, on the human genetic totem pole, we're described in the biology books at universities all over the world as being genetically dominant, not genetically deficient. As it applies right. to the ones at the bottom of the human totem pole.
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think that we oftentimes forget, you know, that when we're talking about sharing the information and the news, we share that information and news with the young folks coming up. We want them to carry on the legacy. We're not going to be here all the time, and we want them to continue to struggle. We want them to honor the ancestors and bring to fruition what they had struggled for before transitioning. Family, if you want to join this conversation, you can do that by calling in at 929-477-2789. Press 1 on the keypad and make your comment. All right, or ask your question. Or if you just want to listen, you can go to the website. All right, which is www.usliftingus.com. Click the Ulu Radio tab. Once on the page, click the link, and then you can join us. We're going to take a radio break, and when we get back, what I would like, family, you to think about when we get back, to turn this tide, what is necessary when we're looking at our children's faces and we say, what is necessary? What is necessary for us to change the tide? Because right now, a lot of us, as I said, we're running scared. We're gonna talk about that when we get back there. Family, we're back, and really appreciate your participation and holding on with us. If you wish to join the conversation with Brother Thurman and myself, again, let me repeat, you can contact us or call in at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your keypad. All right, and I'll put you in the link, and I'll let you know that you're ready to talk, and you can ask your question or make your comment. Or you can just go to our website at usliftinguss.com and go down to the Hulu Radio tab and click the link there, and then you can listen to us. Brother Thurman, I think what you were informing or alluding to was critical. We being captured in this society, we know very little about ourselves, and the idea of the cultural center is to remove us from the shackles of the environment around us and have us gain some control and some insight where we can discuss what's going on, what's the news with us throughout the world. And in fact, I'm glad you talked about the earth and what's happening here. I'm sure that little is known about there's a little island called La Palma. It's in a chain of islands right off the coast of North Africa, Morocco to be specific. Belongs to Spain, the Canary Island. And apparently it's been disrupting, this is November, it's been disrupting since September, And there was, it's just been flowing, lava's just been flowing all over the place, and that particular island sits on a fault. What was concern to a couple people, and, on the internet everybody speculates like, everything, is that, that they was concerned that the disruption could, since the island, there was a fault running through the island, crack and then have about at least a third of the island slide down into the sea. are creating a potential tsunami. More of a concern was the fact that this tsunami could transmit across the Atlantic and then hit the eastern seaboard of the U.S. Now, that still might be a possibility, but I doubt if that would happen. And I'll tell you why I doubt if it happened. True that if a third of the island, which is mountainous, did fall into the sea, obviously you know that water would have to displace. It would displace the water, and that water, so if the mountain is about 5,000 feet high, then 5,000 feet of water is going to rise, you know, creating a tsunami. Now, what people were concerned about, at least some of this, these are some of the speculation that was on the web that I was monitoring that was forecasting the island condition and status, was that, you know, you could have a mountain of wave, you know, almost a foot high reach the shores of the U.S. But a lot of folks know that energy dissipates. And even if you had a tsunami that would go across the Atlantic 3,000 miles, by the time it hits the U.S., you know, that energy would have sort of like dwindled, and, you know, you get some ripples. The ripples could be, you know, high enough because if you know Miami, in the area where I live, it's almost under sea now. So it wouldn't really take too much to have a lot of floods here. But that's some of the stuff that's in the news. We don't know that because that's not on CNN. That's not on MSNBC. And, of course, like I said before, it was speculative, and it's not necessarily a threat. But I usually keep watch on stuff like that I pick up because I know that our people concerned with survival day-to-day, you know, might not necessarily be in tune to that. And they're trying to survive, you know, not getting that jab in their arm. See, I'm retired, so, you know, I don't have to go to work to jab me, okay? So I'm a little bit freer to do some things where other folks are stressed out because of the mandates and all that other kind of stuff. So that's happening in the news in terms of information, you know, still, as you know, on the African continent, there's some areas that are progressing. We talked about digital currency over here. I think Nigeria has just initiated its government digital currency, in which case it has in the issuing of that currency has it such that it has sort of like removed the central bank involvement, which is interesting. I got to read up a little bit more, but that's good because people are engaging, can engage in commerce. As they're engaging in commerce, you know, they don't have to worry about a lot of their energy dissipating. But we have to be very careful because the digital currency is in the cloud, and the cloud is nothing more than just a lot of computer servers that are hooked up. It's the internet for lack of a better word right now, and which is energy-based. Electricity stop, you know, where's my money? You know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have to do an examination, but it does provide a less of a dependency on what they call fiat currency, which is the paper and dollars and yen and all that other kind of stuff, and may allow us to be able to do other kind of things. That's things external to us, but that has an indirect impact and maybe even a direct, depending on where we are in this economic sphere, on our ability to move about in our communities. All right, that's just some news that's been happening that I got from, you know, across the world. A whole bunch of movements are beginning to, Dr. Marlana Coringa is saying we need to revisit reparations, its significance. And, of course, reparations has been with us for decades. Where is it now? We need to know where it is. There's pros and cons on it. Some people look at reparation and say, well, you know, it's begging the white man to, you know, give us some money. No, it's telling the white man he owes us what he stole. And we want to make sure that is, as the Jewish family says, that it'll never happen again. Make sure that nothing is going to happen, and we're going to put that right in your face, that there's some things that happened that we're not going to let you off the hook with. That's how some reparationists see it. We're not letting them off the hook with understanding that internally we must do for self, all right? But at the same time, we're not going to let you off the hook. Well, brother, I just said a whole mouthful. Let me get back to your thoughts. And family, if you wish to join us in the conversation, please. You know, this is, we're just talking about what's in your world, what's in your community, what's going on. We'd like to know what it is. Join us by calling us at 929-477-2789. You know, press 1 on the keypad. Then you can, you know, make your comment, tell us what's going on or ask your question, and we'll try our best to answer. So, Brother Thurman, any reflections on, you know, some of the things I just shared about, you know, some of the things that's happening external to the U.S. and a couple of things that's happening on the continent?
Yes. Well, the things outside of the U.S. Still can easily have an impact on us. It'd be like the Japanese nuclear reactor that blew up. It's having an impact on us, even though most people are not aware of it because they just haven't been paying attention. And we've got to be paying attention because I tuned into it as soon as it first blew up, you know, some years ago. But but it's all part of this ecosystem of this planet and the universe that affects all living things, including all African people. And with the things that is happening and could happen, we need to be prepared. And among the things that we must obtain and reobtain is land or more land wherever we are on the planet, and control of that land and make use of that land. And with the ships that's parked offshore and the shelves being empty in some of the stores, now more than ever, we need to have some focus. But what would we do if the shelves got to be more empty and it was a widespread thing? If we were on some land, if we had already been established on the land, we should be like our people used to do when the seasons came around. They were prepared for whatever may come, whether it was a summertime rainstorm or winter snowstorm. They were prepared and had food put up in various ways, canned in jars, dried in smokehouses. They had their own well, so they were not dependent on some municipal water system. And also they had land that also had trees on it. And if they didn't use it as a primary source, it would be easy to have a backup of wood-fired furnaces or boilers or just a plain long wood stove and their own supply of wood that would keep them warm in, when it was freezing cold. And so they were more self-sufficient and were failing to do that. And in that land subject, you know, it's in the news in my mind because very few of us, if we were speaking to a million of us right now and we asked how many think that we should own our own land, a whole bunch of the people, the majority of people would hold a hand and we waving it up in the air, say, yeah. But then if you say, well, we've got some land and next week we're going to gather up and we're going to go there and we're going to plant some winter crops. And when spring comes, we're going to be planting and harvesting all year long, the spring and the summer crops, and everybody's going to be involved. But the people that had held their hand up and said, yes, we need to get that land, if you said, well, we're all going to come out and we're going to plant and we're going to maintain and we're going to harvest, there'd be a bunch of hands that would go down because they have been so socialized and they have become lazy in their mind and body. And their diet is part of it. And when it comes to the subject of going outside in the sunshine, which is healing and nourishing, they got objections and blockages. Not everybody. I'm talking about the ones that do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to, you know, there's, you know the term collective work and responsibility. When we go to the land,
right,
everybody needs to be a part of that collective work and responsibility for us to be able to sustain and make use of the land and have a sustainable resource like we did before the invaders ever came. We never had a problem without the land. Always provided access to various types of food.
Well, brother, you seem like the land is important to you, and, you know, the more you talked about it, the land I see is important to us, because right now, just talking about the shelves that was bare that my granddaughter described to me, evidently we had no, she had no control over at that time, you know, how to get something to eat other than go to try to find another store. But the lamb is extremely important. And family, we got a few minutes left. If the land is important and you think it's important, all right, our question becomes how do we get that land? What do you see as contributing to us being able to get the land successfully so we can make use of it? You can dial us at 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your keypad, all right, to tell us about your thoughts on land. Do you think it's important? You think it's not relevant? You think, you know, the European, the white man, you know, is honest and will take care of us. He's just going through his thing right now. Let us hear from you. What do you think? My own feeling is that, as Brother Thurman said, we have to focus more and more on that. We have to not only focus more and more on that, we must do that. And to my understanding, I think that Ulu has initiated a real estate group, I think Fauna Properties LLC. Brother Thurman, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, you know, could you inform the family about Fauna and what you see its objective and some work that it's going to be doing?
Yes. Hey, family, us lifting us company under the mother of the mother company, us lifting us, Fauna, has already formed together as a legal business entity, and we're going forward to get involved in the real estate acquisition business, starting off initially with wholesaling, but certainly on the agenda in the near future is that we would be acquiring all types of properties, commercial, residential, but also land. And so we definitely have that on the agenda, the land, and also to help our people that have land to continue to hold on to their land, because the land can, we can take possession of land in this capitalistic society by way of purchasing land. And also there's a lot of land that there are the older people that have land, they're still, like, even though millions and millions and millions have been stolen and robbed from us, there's still some black people that have land, and lots of it, a lot of those people that have that land, it's there, but it's not being used in terms of growing food. It's not being worked, and a lot of that land gets lost when the ones that have control of it, well, for various reasons, if there's no one in the family that it was passed on to, or nobody's interested in it, or if there was some back taxes, it would get lost. And Fauna would eventually position itself to be able to make sure that when it comes to our people, that from our perspective and having the resources, that we would be able to make sure that some of that land that otherwise would be lost would not be lost, and we could keep it in the family and keep it in our community.
Thank you so much,
yeah,
brother. Yeah, we need that land. We need a family. If you know of people that have land, they want to do something with the land. They're not sure. But they don't want to turn it over to the Europeans. Then let's have a conversation. I'm not saying that we could do at this early stage, but at the same time, let's engage in the conversation. You know, what can we do? Let's set up strategies, and we can help to bring that land and make sure that it's in the family, and, you know, we can work through a whole bunch of stuff. Brother Thurman, it's getting to that hour. You know, any last-minute words you would like to offer or say to the family as we begin to close out, you know, from our earlier discussion up till the present time?
But when it comes to the nice topic, what's in the news, African family, we've got to move forward every day, moving forward, never backwards. And remember, that we've got to be mindful of what we are doing every day. And the greatest waste of time is to be busy doing the wrong thing. The greatest waste of time is to be busy doing the wrong thing. In the context of African liberation, if our will, activity, and resources are not directed at building and maintaining systems and institutions to seek to position us as sovereign, then by default, we serve another and not ourselves. And this would surely be a tragic waste of time and other resources. And these are the words of Baba Hakima, one of the elder founders of Us Lifting Us.
All right. Thank you, brother. And on that note, family, it's been a pleasure. We'll be back here next week at 9 o'clock with another episode of Dare to Win. Thank you.
Okay.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let nothing stand in your way. I want you to live on to every word I say, every word I say. Trying to make it, they only push you aside.